Mikey and Rin Eden,
yum.
A show about the serious and not so serious parts of our edible world. Let's eat.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, everybody. Welcome to Mikey and Rin Eden. This is Mikey.
This is Rin.
I didn't have any AKAs this week.
Let's not.
AKA Tennis Tommy is what I'm calling myself.
Yeah, Mikey's been tennising it up.
I used to play tennis in high school, and my dad's a big tennis player, and I've just gotten back into it recently. And it's hard.
Yeah.
And I've been feeling... we've both been dealing with back problems in our house. And I just feel like tennis helps, but it also keeps it at like, it just keeps it at a steady boil, mm-hmm. a simmer. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it doesn't really get it feeling better, but it doesn't make it feel that much worse. It just kind of makes it feel mm-hmm. all the time.
What do you do after your tennis match to help your body?
I eat a fair amount of Swedish fish. No, I've been eating Scandinavian Swimmers, which is the Trader Joe's version of Swedish fish.
Ooh, yeah.
That's the best. I love that as a knockoff name. It's Scandinavian really good. Swimmers. And they're so good. They're like, they use natural coloring, like beet, spirulina. I can't remember what else. Turmeric maybe. God, they're so good. But what you're implying is that I don't stretch.
That is what I'm
implying. Or drink enough water.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't do either of those things. I used to just be able to recover.
I know. It's not the case anymore.
Why not?
Because you are of advanced paternal age.
Oof. Yeah. Okay.
How's it fucking feel? Advanced paternal age.
Not good.
I like it.
Not good. Yeah. For those of you that have listened to the show for a while or have been in a hospital anytime recently, it's condescending, the terms that they use. And the one that we've latched onto the most and talk about almost every episode is geriatric pregnancy. Men get very few things attached to them.
Yeah.
Because we don't have to go to the hospital that much.
Right. Like, our bodies are just kind of dumb. Well, and you age and you like get more distinguished.
Yeah. Like people want to fuck George Clooney so much more now than they did 20 years ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. Just a little note on who we are. If this is your first time, we're coming into your ears.
Bring him in.
I am Rin. Corinne, hi. AKA Corinne.
AKA.
And I am an acupuncturist, an herbalist, and lover of all things edible.
True.
And not edible, but edible things are really my joy.
Tries to make most things edible.
Yeah.
She's sucking on a tennis ball right now.
Mm.
Yum, yum, yum.
Fuzzy.
Furry fun. Yeah, and I'm Mikey. I'm a chef and certified fat kid. I like to snack, AKA snack boy.
Mm-hmm.
I do food innovation for a living. I helped like invent new foods. And I think, you know, one of the reasons we have this show is we always like to bring together kind of like, you know, Rin. Rin is kind of the more studious. And especially when it comes to food, she's like, she eats very intentionally. And I just kind of, I eat Swedish fish because it's like there and I'm hungry and I'm snacky. And so our show is about all things food. We have a new baby. So that's like a lot of what the show is about.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we've been eating. I mean, we are feeding our baby. We're parenting at this point at like 160% of what we need to be doing. Let's be fucking real.
Well, I think that's how we've done most things, right? So for those of you that are just now listening for the first time or first-ish time, we've also had a really long,
yeah.
pretty bumpy road to get this little babe sure. in our lives.
Yeah. Came out of the road on three wheels with no windshield.
yeah, just like screaming around the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we did IVF, had some assisted fertility experience.
Yes, indeed.
And he was our final embryo.
True.
We had three. He was our final little nugget.
Yeah.
And so we were able to have our bio baby that we wanted. And it's been just really incredible
right.
to have him.
It's, all finally. Those things are very true. But I think we've also we've never known chill. Like we've never
very true.
We've
yeah.
never known chill pregnancy. Mm-hmm. We've never known like not worrying that, you know, because the labor was also really difficult. They almost lost Rennie. And so like when it came time to like, let's feed our kid, it's like, we're just going at it like full fucking gusto. Like there's very few pouches happening in this kid's life. It's like this morning he had, you know, we had a pan seared poached salmon. And then he's got, you know, like beautiful cheese. He's got these unbelievable like fruits and things from our backyard. And then we're also doing, you know, we're doing baby led weaning. And we're letting him kind of like steer the ship on a lot of stuff. We're like, you know, we're letting him whole, you know, serve himself his own food. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, spoon feeds himself. And then also we've been giving him like real looking food the mm-hmm. whole time, you mm-hmm. know, like, and what I think is super fun is we're doing like basically our meal mm-hmm. and then Riggy style meal.
Yes.
So tell us what we had last night, like what we did.
Yeah. Last night was one of my favorites. And I think what we'll do is if you check out Mikey and Rin on Instagram, we'll have some pics yeah. of the meal side by side and what it looks like for us and then for baby.
Right.
So basically we did like kind of poke bowls.
Yeah.
So I got some beautiful salmon. We have this amazing company called Flying Fish that procures all kinds of sea delights.
And, oh my God. Yeah. So we're in Portland, Oregon. And yeah, they have,
they're amazing.
Sushi grade salmon. Ugh. Like it's the wildest salmon I've ever
it's
seen.
I mean, so literally beautiful. And figuratively. It's so delicious. So oh my God. So Mikey and I had some salmon belly and then I got some coho salmon for the little guy. And like Mikey said, we ate ours raw. We cooked it up for him, took the skin off and, you know, kind of cooked it. Mikey was actually the fish cooker.
Yeah.
And, you know, cooked it so that it's sort of still soft. He didn't like sear anything necessarily.
Most of the meat that we've been cooking for him, I will sear and I'll cook it kind of like I would normally cook ours. And then at the end, I'll kind of steam it almost mm-hmm. like I like mm-hmm. add a little broth or liquid to the pan.
That's a really good technique because it's been super helpful, I think, especially for things like a turkey burger.
Right.
Which can get really crispy. Tight and dry.
And it's also just, it's hard when things get like crispy on the edges because, mm-hmm. you know, he has two little teeth, which are great for biting nips off.
Definitely.
Not so great for fucking breaking down crispy protein. So, so they just hit it with that, usually put a lid over it, and then it just kind of steams it, keeps it soft. So we can either break it up for him or he can break it up like in his hands or mouth. So,
yeah, it's a cool technique that I just didn't think of. And then, yeah, so inside of our poke bowls, there was some sushi rice, cilantro, green onions, carrots, cucumbers. What else did we have in there?
And then we hammered it with so there's this new, I can't remember the name of the spice. It's like a Japanese style, kind of like a sriracha sort of thing, but this one's made with black garlic. It's like black garlic, yuzu, fermented. I think it's got koji in it.
I'm going to get the name of it.
No, go get it. Oh, watch your head. Rennie just almost took the headphones and microphones with her. But yeah, but it's this like spicy black garlic sauce that we have been going nuts with, like putting on everything. And we don't own a piece of the company. I wish that we did, but we're going to blow them up now. And it's, I think that the name that's on there, not the brand name, is kind of a general umbrella term for like a fermented chili sort of sauce that's Japanese. This, the K name.
Kanzuri.
Mm-hmm. I think kanzuri is like kind of, I must admit, I don't know a ton about it. But this is kanzuri. And it's, does it say a brand name on it? Whatever, fuck them. They're not paying us. We'll post a picture of it though.
Yeah, we'll post a picture of it. We got it at at our local spice shop. Yeah. But we've been giving this to Riggsy too, and it does have chili peppers in it. Chili peppers, black garlic, roasted green chili peppers.
And has a little bit of salt to it, but like nothing
crazy.
Tiny
amount. And so it's, you know, it's got some kick to it.
Yeah.
And
he handles spice.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we put a bunch of that on. We put a little bit on his meal. And then he basically had everything we did with a couple modifications, like Mikey said. So I'm not going to feed him like raw shredded carrots. Those are a little tough to eat. So right. I just steamed his so that they're nice and soft. He can pick them up and gum them and eat them. Cucumbers, I just kind of do, you know, they say like don't feed babies raw vegetables. Sure. If they're like super crunchy, I'm not going to give him like red peppers or something that aren't steamed. But the kind of inside part of the cucumbers are really
like
beautiful.
The seedy sort of meat.
Beautiful and soft.
Nut meats.
and those actually came from our backyard. And so it's...
What did?
Our cucumbers.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't realize that those were ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what else did we put in there? I think, and then sesame seeds. And sesame seeds. Yeah. So sesame seeds we sprinkled all over the top.
Yeah.
Sesame is one of the foods that is a potential allergen.
Right.
Kind of on the rise allergen. Mm. And so because Rigsy had the egg allergy, we've been pretty careful with new allergy introductions, doing them one at a time and away from other food. But sesame has been okay. And so what we've done is that once we introduce an allergen, we just make sure that we're like constantly reintroducing it.
Right.
So he's had some tahini, he's had some hummus with tahini in it, and now some sesame seeds.
So. Yeah. And he's done well with everything except for eggs.
Yep.
And then one of the things that's interesting during food time, well, the other thing about our baby is that when people meet him out and about, they're like, he's an observer. So when we're holding him and like we see people and whatever, he just will stare at them. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh my gosh, like, he's just such a chill kid. Like, he's so amazing. We talked about this a little on the last episode. He is fucking buck wild when he eats.
Buck wild.
Like, not only when he eats, but I think he kind of, but when he's hungry, like 20 minutes before he eats, it's like he is a banshee. He's screaming. He literally cannot be, there's no chill in him. And then we get him sitting down and he'll eat something. And the second it's in his gullet, he's screaming again for something else, like pounding the table and throwing shit. Oh my God. I don't know if it's like a bellwether for what's going to happen in the future, but like, he's going to be a bitch in the future.
Well, and it's wild because he sits in a little chair while we're doing food prep often.
Yeah, the little bumbo chairs, those little like squatty rubber chairs.
And he is like, what are you doing with all of this food around and none of it in my face?
Oh, yeah, which I appreciate. I mean, I'm kind of the same way. But I don't know. He's been throwing these like little temper tantrums, which are hilarious because he's tiny. we'll give him like, we have a little whisk for him and a little spatula and like little, and he plays with them. And he's been chucking those fuckers across the kitchen. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where it feels like it's like an adult move.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he and I have we have a connection, a bond to the point where I can like look at him and be like, hey, fuck, bro, what are you doing chucking that at me? You know? But yeah, so the dining with him is not like, it's not like a very relaxing experience. We're not, it's not a candlelit romantic dinner. It's a blast-a-thon.
It's cool because we've recently started to give him some choices. So I'll kind of bring the plate up to him and he'll very deliberately pick what he wants, right? So like this morning, he was all about the cheese and all about the mango.
Hell yeah.
Not so into the salmon. So it's pretty cool to watch, his... just to see his preferences right now.
Rennie's been kind of joking about like when he'll not pick. See, oftentimes we'll not pick the protein or the meat. And she's like, oh, he's a little vegan. And Mikey's not ready to handle.
Mikey was so excited when he picked cheese today.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, at least he's a vegetarian. Yeah.
But the cool thing is I keep thinking about like, yes, it's partially taste preferences and kind of sensory preferences, right? But also, is there like nutritional preferences? You know, is his body saying, because in the beginning, he was like all about, he would take a piece of steak and suck on it. And his favorite food, right? And so I wonder, did he need like a bunch of iron at that point? And so he was just like stockpiling that, you know?
Is this kind of, what was our friend's name that came on and talked about intuitive eating?
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Totally spacing her name.
Yeah. Sorry that we forgot your name. We'll bring it back. God. But the best, I mean, intuitive eating is such a cool thing. And the idea of it like being that your body knows what you need and you're able to kind of like, you know, if you just eat, like let your body guide you, then, or your gut guide you. I don't exactly know how the theory goes, but, but let your body guide you and have it be, you know, you're eating what, you know, you're getting what your body needs, right?
Mm-hmm. And so now he's all about the kind of veggies and fruit. And I wonder if there's like, he needs some more vitamin C right now. I just want to say one more piece about kind of how we're building meals.
Yeah.
I kind of think about, and this is like so classically our family, right? Mikey's all about kind of the taste and flavor profile. Mm. And so I look to Mikey for like, what spice should we add to this? What would go good with salmon? What would go good with, you know, this broccoli? And then I'm kind of thinking through the nutritional makeup of his plate, right? Yeah. So we want something with iron.
Yeah.
Because breast milk is pretty deficient in iron. So, you know, usually that's something of the meat variety. Or we've given him tofu as a kind of vegetarian, or beans.
Mm-hmm.
And then also something vitamin C-ish, because that helps absorb iron. So, you know, broccoli or kiwi or some kind of veggie like that.
I knew that broccoli had vitamin C.
Sure.
I don't know anything about vitamins of any variety. So
yeah,
fish have vitamins in them?
they're really, you're eating the rainbow, right? Perfect. With those Scandinavian swimmers. Yeah, they say eat
the rainbow. So. I'm eating the fucking rainbow. I don't know.
Or like, you know, peppers, things like that. Like those really bright, beautiful veggies. And then like a, you know, kind of like a power energy food. So like a, you know, a grain, oatmeal, or even, you know, avocado, because it's like packed with fat, cheese, yogurt, that kind of stuff is really good. So that's sort of how we're balancing his plate.
Yeah.
And then, you know, oftentimes it's more building off of what we're eating. And then, you know, we're just kind of assembling his plate to look something like that.
And the other part of it is just that there's so many fucking dishes and laundry and all the things that happen with a baby. Our dog's just barking and we're hoping that he's not going to wake up our baby. Okay, we're back. Avi, our dog is the sweetest dog in the world and mostly barks to kind of say hello. We also have a fully glass front door, which is the amount of Amazon delivery people that have seen my penis and just random neighbors, because I'm like, I, you know, take off sweaty clothes downstairs and I'm running to go upstairs and shower, and it's like, hey, fully glass door. Ugh. And so Avi will see anything happening out there and then bark. And it just so happens that that's like right underneath Riggy's room.
God, nothing will light my rage like a dachshund 5-alarm bark.
Yeah, you might hear the death of our dog on this program. Rin, normally
I love her. I love her so much.
Mild-mannered person just beheaded our dog. But yeah, so I don't know. But the key part of it is just that what I was saying is that it's just, I don't ever want to be a household, and no judgment if this is your household, it's all good, but I don't want to have, like, I didn't grow up in a household where it was like, we have the adult's meal and then the kid's meal. Like, I don't want to have separate things.
Right.
You know, like, obviously at some point there's going to be like a chicken nugget moment. Great. Whatever.
That you're not going to eat.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that we're going to be eating chicken nuggets. Fuck you.
So delicious.
All right. So one of the segments on our show that we like to bring out, what did I call it last week? I called
Geriatric Parenting Corner.
No, Parrot Party.
Geriatric Parenting
GPP.
Party.
Rindog would like to brand it as
Parenting While Old.
PWO. So this is a segment where we talk about all of the mishaps that happen with having a baby a little bit later in life. And why all you pregnant 22-year-olds out there, you've got it fucking right. Nice job.
Mine is, so I have been a little resistant to joining mom groups for a multitude of reasons, mostly because I'm old and it feels really weird to be in a group of people that are so much my junior.
Is that the reason that you've been?
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest part of the reason.
You're so youthful.
Thank you.
She's youthful.
Yeah, appreciate that. But more recently, it's just nice to like talk to another mom of a kid that's the same age. A lot of my other friends have kids that are teenagers, and they're like starting to have sex, and I'm like, not thinking about that right now, right?
He's at least a couple months off sex,
I would say. Yes. So I was invited to join this mom group. They have a WhatsApp chat situation.
Dope.
Luckily, I knew what that was.
I feel like they might be drug runners or gun dealers or something.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Because WhatsApp feels like, I know it's for international travel, or like if you are from another country, like it's an easy way to, like all these people live in Portland.
Kids are using. God, I have no idea.
Maybe. I've been Snapchatting dick pics with my guys group, my dad's group. It's cool.
but it's been really sweet. Like they, you know, we have little chats about different things, and one of the women loves to watch Bachelorette, and so I was like, oh my God, these are totally my people, and the most recent chat is around a girls' night out.
Yes.
And I haven't, I've been actually a pretty good responder in this group, and I have not said a thing because a girls' night out means like starting at what, when babies go down? 7:30 p.m.?
Yeah. Might as well be midnight.
And then what?
Yeah.
Like then we stay out until 10? Or 11?
Probably later than that, yeah.
And so, you know, I thought this mom's group was just, I was like really like feeling the vibe. And I'm like, oh my God, we're going to like meet in a park at 11 after the kiddos naps. Like, this is so good. And this is, and now this is where the rubber meets the road.
Right.
Right. This is where the 30-year-olds are like, fuck yeah, I need to get out my house and party.
Yeah.
And for me, the thought of that, it would be like lifting this house up by its foundation on my shoulders. Like, it sounds like a Herculean task to leave my house after Reggie goes down.
I know, that's true. Yeah. And it's hard to admit, we didn't put the lights on your walker yet.
Exactly. I don't even know how I'd get around.
You can get we could use a headlamp with your, and you could use your hurricane.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. It's more mobile.
Well, and then part of me is like, you should do it. But the other part is that you're not drinking.
No.
So that's like never been a big motivator for you. But but it is, there are elements like that. I mean, I will just say that getting older and having any drinks of any variety.
Well, this is the other piece, like the thought of having even a drink and then waking up at 6 a.m. with my baby.
I know. Well, because it's changed from like, I used to have hangovers, like body hangovers, just like, ow, my head hurts. Ow, things hurt. I'm going to eat some greasy food and feel better. Mm-hmm. But now I have these sort of existential hangovers that are like, why are you doing this? You're a bad person. Why do you grow up? And so it's just not even fucking worth it. Cause the next day I'm going to be like halfway in a noose the whole day. Whatever. My parenting while old moment. I couldn't really think of a direct one because most of mine are about back pain. And that's so boring. Cause it's just like, I'm trying. Most of it is about getting up off the ground while holding a 13 pound infant, or back pain. So that's whatever. But then the other one for me is just this. It's, and we're going to have a couple celebrity related things on this episode, but this one is mostly about checking how old celebrities are, that I never cared about celebrities' ages. And now I'm like, wait a second, the person that I watched on television, who was like, I looked up to as like an uncle or something like that, is only 4 years older than me. And it's like, they've always been 4 years older than me, right?
Who's an example of that?
Well, the I'm trying to think of who it was recently. Well, what a couple of them have been, it's less about their age. A lot of times it's about that they have now a child who is now a sex symbol or something.
Right.
Like they're our age. Yep. And then their kid is the newest like thirst trap who's like 20.
Right.
And I'm like, well, wait a second. That person was on a show. I don't know. I'm just having really big issues. Well, here's one that this is kind of a not good comparison, but Sinead O'Connor died.
Yeah.
She was 56.
I know.
That's going to go ahead and be 12 years old, 13 years older than us.
Right.
That's not many years older than us. Sinead O'Connor was like, I kind of thought of her as like our parents' age when she was out. What? Like, I mean, I've seen a bunch of, like, Nas is 6 years older than us.
Right.
Like, I just thought of, like, oh, when he was coming out in high school, I was, like, in high school, and he was, like, 30 or something.
Yeah.
No. And so I've just, I feel like time collapses a little bit as you get older.
Yeah.
And does. I feel like we can hang out with 25-year-olds, and I feel totally good. Like, I feel like they like us. They probably look at me as, you know, a zaddy. I mean, I was like, he's fucking hot. Dabod. But like, I feel like we're kind of up on pop culture stuff and whatever.
Oh God, Jesus the fact Christ. That you even have to say that is, it's so sad.
I just saw this meme of like this, and it's like a older man, older woman, and he's got like a Supreme flat brim five panel hat on, and he's kind of like on one knee in front of like a G wagon, and she's dressed kind of in a cool way or whatever, and it says us showing up to our kids high school graduation because we had our kids in our 40s. So they're like all hip-hopped out 65 year olds, and I vibe with that so hard. I'm like, yes, 100%.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't have a specific moment, but I'm just, I am feeling like I was never someone who valued youth. Like I was never someone who even valued kind of coolness. And now I'm like, fuck, maybe I was a little bit. Yeah. And I wasted all those years.
Well, isn't that, what's the saying? Youth is wasted on the young, right?
Is that what it is? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So we've got a, you know, kind of the bulk of our show today. We wanted to talk a little more politically.
Sure. Well, yeah, this show can kind of, you know, we want this show to kind of feel like the discussions that we have in our house.
Sure.
But like we do it into your ears. You're fucking welcome. So it's lots of dick and fart jokes. It's a little celeb goss here and there. but then also there's, you know, we've talked a lot about SB8 through the years. A lot of the things that have kind of related to us through the journey that we've gone through with infertility, ending a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our world is pretty fucking hectic right now. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the way that these things are happening. Yeah. And we were talking a lot about, I guess the umbrella way to say it would be food security. Mm-hmm. And just the idea that it's something that people are even having to be concerned about. Mm-hmm. In our country is just a wild thing, that we have the highest levels of food waste and yet also some of the highest levels of food insecurity for a developed nation, like that's as big as ours, is confounding.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure. Yeah. You know, and we talked a lot about the fact that, you know, infant nutrition, maternal nutrition is, you're laying the foundation for the rest of these humans' lives, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And the fact that it's, like, take formula, for example. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most expensive things in a grocery store, oftentimes behind locked glass, right? Because it's so expensive.
Right.
And
I think it's both things, right? I think it's that it's so expensive and it's so important.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that everybody needs, and so you would steal it because it's like you're desperate enough that you need it. You have to have it.
Because your baby would die without it, right?
Right.
And the, you know, just the idea that we exist in a place where we have a for-profit enough system.
Yeah.
That the, you know, the price gouging is making food for a baby inaccessible.
Well, and because it's, you know, it is such a necessity and it's such a need, they know that they can charge kind of whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And it's, I just think it was mind-blowing for me to see the dichotomy, right?
Yeah.
Because one, if you can breastfeed, it's free.
Right, right.
It's free. Your body, I mean, it's not free from from how much the mother has to work at it,
right,
and
right.
how much time it takes and all those different things.
Well, and but there's it's
literally
the key.
Free,
right?
Right.
There, the, you know, the amount of time and ultimately resources it took for me to get our breastfeeding journey off the ground would not have happened had we not been as well resourced as we are, had I not been off from work.
Yes.
And so he would have been a kid on formula and we would have, I mean, been having to pay for his food. Right.
I just think that it's wild that it's either free or it's very expensive.
Right. Right.
It just, and it's the idea that anybody would have to compromise something else in their life the amount of formula / other baby things that I've bought for people outside of a store where they've needed some help. And, you know, I've been like, what can I get for you? The idea that that's even something that people would have to stress about is wild to me in our country.
Right.
And I also just think that there's, I mean, let's just get down to brass tacks, right? A lot of this is about money. A lot of this is about capitalism. If we really want to break things down along a political line, Republicans are more focused on keeping capitalism, supporting large companies, and there are also people that are quote unquote pro-life or anti-choice. And the idea to me that you can be pro-birth mm-hmm. and not allow people to access the healthcare that they deserve, but then once the kid is born, you don't support that kid on any level. There's no funding for pre-K programs. You should be able to get baby food, diapers, things like that. I think at least at severe discounts, or it should just be free. You should have access to it. And Republicans would never allow for that. Are you kidding me?
Pre-Earthside life.
Right. Right. And then once you're here, we're going to fucking lock you up. Look at what Abbott is doing in the river in the Rio Grande right now. He's like allowing babies and mothers to be caught up in razor wire in the middle of the river and drown.
Right.
That's not very fucking pro-life.
Right. Right. Yeah. And there, we do have safety nets, obviously. Right.
For sure. WIC programs.
SNAP. Yeah. My mom was actually a WIC recipient when I was younger, and I assumed that WIC was just an income-based initiative, right?
Based on household income.
Yeah.
I thought that too.
We're in a place where we don't have to think about that, right? And so I assumed that it was only based on income.
Yeah.
But doing a little research, I realized that it's now, it's income-based, but also nutritional risk-based. Mm. So you have to tick all these boxes. You have to be a resident of the state that you're accessing WIC from.
Okay.
You have to have you have to be 185% below the federal poverty limit. And then you also have to have this nutritional risk. So let's say you're a pregnant mom and you have anemia, right? Then you can qualify.
If you only have one of those categories, no.
No, yeah.
That to me feels like limiting, that feels like something that's been pushed by the GOP.
Right.
It just
does. Well, because my mom might just be misremembering, but she said that she never had to, because what happens is you have to go to a medical provider and sort of get your get out of jail free card, right? You have to get your medical assessment card. Yeah.
Because it seems like SNAP. I was looking at SNAP and that seems like it's literally just you have to have residency and then income.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Okay. Totally. And so my mom might be misremembering, but she doesn't remember having to do any sort of nutritional risk assessment. Yeah. She said, nope, it was just because our income was this. And so I received the benefits. So I couldn't really find when that nutritional risk assessment was put in, but it looks like it was part of a later bill, that was part of the WIC program.
Well, so, and you said this a little bit last night, but, babies are born with an innate nutritional need.
Yeah.
And I mean, when we were having, you were starting to breastfeed with Riggy and it wasn't happening really at the beginning, mm-hmm. we were really interested in keeping him eating breast milk.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's a milk bank here and it's a cool program, whatever. It was unbelievably expensive.
Yep.
And it was something that we were able to do and chose to do, but it was, what was it again? I think it was 12 times.
12 times.
It was 12 times the price of powdered formula. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. And we were using it as kind of like a bridge. We kind of needed it just to supplement while, you were kind of getting off the ground. And then you guys really figured your stuff out and did
well, it. And I want to just insert a little shout out here.
Yeah.
I have an amazing younger sister.
Yes.
Who also has a young whippersnapper. She's now 16 or 17 months. And she was also breastfeeding at the time.
Yeah.
And had a lot of stored breast milk that she was, sort of going to donate. And while we were in the hospital, we FaceTimed with my sister and we're kind of talking to her about the sort of challenges that we were having. And she was like, what about if I send you some of mine?
Yeah.
And so
we both immediately started crying.
Oh my God. Well, it was just such a gift. Because in the beginning,
such a human moment.
You know, we were, just like pumping and doing a little bit of donor milk from the hospital and then going to the milk bank.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then my sister's shipment came in and it was just so, so special to know that, you know, he was getting what he needed and that it was coming from a family member.
Yeah,
and
that's wild.
This is, you know, this is right. What happens when this you're,
it takes a village moment.
Yeah. But it was really, it was just such a special moment for all of us. And I feel like now him and his cousin are sort of like forever bonded. Mm. Right. I think it's just so cool.
When this also just like leads me to another place where I'll watch my TikToks.
You will.
And there's all these like videos of like, you know, a 75-year-old Domino's pizza delivery driver coming to someone's door and like, and you know, then this sweet conversation, whatever. And then the person, the TikTok person, ends up like raising $35,000 for this person so that they can maybe retire or whatever. But just the idea, like, I feel like in our country, there should be like an age. Like if you make it to that age, you don't have to worry about money anymore. Right. And on some level, this is what Social Security is for and all these different things. But like, I mean, the amount of people that are our parents' age, especially my parents' age, that have a Social Security payment or whatever, that is like, it's nothing.
Right.
I mean, it's just the most limited amount of money.
Right.
And so they're on these fixed incomes and then they have very little freedom around travel, around like really feeling secure in their lives. I just think it's like something that you should not have to worry about if you're 80 years old, you know?
Right.
And our country just... I don't know. One of the things we kind of, this is not really in the food security realm, but we got talking about like the idea of medicine and being able to be, you know, like the Martin Shkreli, you know, jacking up the, you know, he got the patent on this particular, it was an HIV related malaria drug, I think. And he jacked it up from $13 to like $670 per pill. And then the other one is the EpiPen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Riggy has this allergy, egg allergy, and we didn't know what the other allergies might be. And so they had us get this AviQ.
AviQ.
And so it's like a little kid EpiPen basically, mm-hmm. right? And I have an EpiPen because I've been stung by a bunch of bees. And after like the 100th bee that I got stung by, I started like swelling up, you know? And so we just keep an EpiPen in the house. And I was like, oh, an EpiPen. It's like the copay on it is probably $20 or something. No, it was $150. Mm-hmm. And I started to just do some research into EpiPens because I knew there was that, you know, in 2016, I think it was, there was this unbelievable spike mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. cost of the EpiPen. So Mylan is the name of the company that makes the EpiPen. And so it rose from in 2009, it was $124 for two EpiPens. Mm-hmm. And now it's $600. In 2016, it rose to $609.
Jesus.
And so one of the interesting things that I had not known about was the regulatory panel in the government that oversees things like this. And when the complaints came up about the cost gouging, price gouging, they were the kind of final say on whether this was going to be an okay thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So the CEO of Mylan Pharmaceuticals is just so happens to be Joe Manchin's daughter.
Oh.
And Joe Manchin, who is a dino, Democrat in name only, was the head of this panel. And so let it all go through. And then it also happens that Mylan is consistently the biggest donor to his campaign.
Dude.
So anyways, that was just, it's a little side story, but it was something that I found. And it's just fucking mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like, are we kidding?
Yeah.
That's literally like nepotism in the highest form in the highest office. And and the thing is for me is it's like, I don't know, if we were talking about, let's just say Botox or something,
mm-hmm.
like it's something you're choosing to do. It's like an elective surgery or elective procedure. Fine. EpiPens keep people alive from allergies mm-hmm. that might kill them, mm-hmm. that they didn't choose to have. Some of them are children. Some of them are older people, whatever it is. Someone has like a peanut allergy and they don't have access to an EpiPen because they don't have $609.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's that to me is just, it's criminal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. A better example might be boner pills.
Oh, boner pills.
Because,
sure. Totally.
Because Botox sometimes is used for migraines.
I was
going like
to say that. I know Botox has like off-label uses. Yeah.
I think boner pills. Is probably the best.
All right. I'm going to pop a boner pill real quick. Okay, we're back, folks, and we have a it's not a quizathon.
Oh.
No, it's not. Okay. This is a celebrity food quirks. Questionnaire is what I'm going to call it.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is our celebrity corner. We've got, I have five questions. Mm-hmm. And these are related to odd food habits that a certain celebrity has. And I'm going to, I'm going to name the odd food habit. And then you're going to guess out of four famous people, what which person it is.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
Like
and this is actually not, most of my quizzes are unwinnable because they're my objective, right or wrong.
Yeah.
These literally are, they are, wait, my subjective. Yeah. Subjective, uh-huh. Right or wrong. These are objectively right or wrong because it's a real person.
Great.
Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. We have
I love a test I can ace.
Yes. We have four. These are very difficult.
Okay.
Now they're stumpers.
I'm ready.
So we have four questions.
Okay.
Ready? Who is the celebrity that has to have ketchup with them at all times, including having to have each one of their security guards and bodyguards carry emergency ketchup with them everywhere that they go?
Wow.
Four choices are Nicolas Cage. Uh-huh. I would love to. God, I wish I could do like an impression of each of these people when I do it.
Yeah.
Nick Cage. Nope. Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran.
No, I don't know. Was that my English accent?
Can you sing a little ditty, maybe?
I don't know any of his songs. Body is a Wonderland. 50 Cent.
Uh-huh.
Curtis Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Or Renee Zellweger.
Oof. I'm going to say 50 Cent.
You are incorrect.
Damn it.
It's Eddie, Shreddy Eddie Sheeran, little Eddie Sheeran, which is actually also the celebrity that thousands of Instagrammers said our baby looked like was little Eddie Sheeran. I know.
I wouldn't have.
It was because of
thought
his hair.
Brit would be carrying ketchup. I like immediately eliminated him.
No offense.
I just thought, I don't know.
No offense to Britain, but their food tastes are kind of garbage, and ketchup's garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And Ed Sheeran's kind of garbage. Sorry, Mom. My mom loves Ed Sheeran. Okay. Second question. Mm-hmm. 0-1. Which celebrity dips Mint Milanos and Oreos in lemonade?
Oh.
And brags about it and talks about how everybody should do it.
No.
Four choices are.
Okay.
Kim Kardashian.
Uh-huh.
Kimothy Kardashian. Giada De Laurentiis. Uh-huh. Boobalicious Chef. Jeff DeLantis. Mark Zuckerberg, otherwise known as Mark Fuckerberg, or Cardi B.
I'm going between Cardi B and Mark Zuckerberg.
Mm. No one's ever gone between Cardi B and Mark Zuckerberg. But I like it.
I've never seen it on the Kardashians, so I've eliminated Kim.
Okay, all right. Kimothy.
I'm going to go with... Oh, God. I'm going to go with Zuckerberg.
That's going to be Giada De Laurentiis.
What?
Yes. Sorry. With those big old chompers that she's got.
God, it's shocking. I eliminated her pretty early.
Yeah,
on
I know. I was a little bit shocked by it. It's kind of something.
I feel like, though, food people often have the most egregious food things that they do or eat. Or it's kind of like... Sometimes psychologists have the deepest, seated mental health stuff.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I kind of feel the same way about chefs and food people.
Yeah, I get it. It's also just like, I think of chefy people that are just like willing to, they're like, oh, lemonade is an acid and then they'll brighten up the flavor of the Milan, whatever, you know, it's kind of like, it's fun. Yeah. And it's also like, I think there's a thing about, I don't know. I think of a shot of espresso. It's got a squeeze of lemon in it, like traditionally in Italy. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
It's not that crazy for me.
No. Okay.
Well. Okay. 0-2. Okay. Which celebrity, or probably many of them do, but which celebrity am I talking about that regularly tips 10%?
Oh, gross.
And did it at a $500 or $600 dinner with another very famous couple as well. Gross. I don't know if it's a hint, but he was with a very, very famous couple. And the two women of the couples are sisters. I don't know if that helps you at all.
No.
Okay. The four guesses are Joe Rogan, Stanley Tucci, Angelina Jolie, Amy Schumer.
Stanley Tucci.
Nice. Everybody got such a hard on for Stanley Tucci with the Italian thing. I fucking hate Stanley Tucci.
I didn't like that show. I thought
found he was such
him,
a dick.
Yeah, kind of dickish. Yeah.
So he's married to Emily Blunt's sister.
Oh, I didn't know that.
John Krasinski, Emily Blunt. And then his wife is a Blunt of some variety. But yeah, supposedly 10%. Tips 10%. And I'm like, bro, you're like a food person. You travel a lot. Are you, you're tipping 10%.
And you've got so much money.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Final answer. You have, it's 1-3 at this point. Mm. So if this is a winner take all. If you okay. get this, then you win everything. Like all okay. the enchiladas. Oh God, you know what we just figured out with a book that we were reading is that they were talking about a little donkey. So a burrito. I never thought about it. I said all the enchiladas. A burrito is maybe a little donkey. Is that what it's named after? A little donkey? I don't know. Let's not look it up.
Okay.
We'll look it up and talk about it next time. But yeah, donquito. Okay. Which celebrity threw up on stage twice after drinking too much milk before their performance? Which celebrity threw up on stage for drinking too much milk right before the performance? Is it Dave Matthews? Hey, Dave. Justin Bieber. Ricky Rose. Rick Ross. John Mayer.
I'm just trying to think of. I'm
who's
gonna,
a Milky Boy?
Yeah.
Who's that Milky Boy?
I mean, Biebs feels like he's young enough to still drink milk. Like maybe.
He's still breastfeeding, maybe? Like
maybe, yeah. Maybe he still needs that full fat cow's milk.
Yeah. His bones are brittle.
It doesn't sound like a Biebs move, though.
Mm. You're thinking more her, Dave?
Yeah, because I feel like Dave would get really high and eat like a sleeve of Oreos
and then
crush a bunch of milk. Yeah.
Dave's tour bus did. Drop poop all over tourists on a boat in Chicago.
Right. Yeah. I feel like there's some questionable behavior.
Yeah.
With DMB.
With David. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going with Dave.
It was Justin Bieber.
Oh, damn it. Should have went with my first instinct.
Well, part of me is like, Biebs, was it too much milk? You were chugging milk before the performance.
Right.
Like milk isn't like a performance enhancer.
Was he drinking mudslides?
Maybe. Yeah, cool.
Because that also kind of feels Fridays. Like, that feels like Biebs. You
yeah,
know?
Underage like, drinking. Yeah. You're like a mudslides with people, what adults drink. Yeah, I love that. All right, let's wrap this up.
Burrito.
Oh, nice. You looked it up.
Diminutive form of burro.
Oh, diminutive.
Diminutive is good.
Listen, we love you guys. We hope this show was funny, informative, and got your taste buds just dancing.
Tingling.
And you're overeating some Swedish fish. Scandinavian swimmers. We love you guys. We'll be back next week. Reach out to us at let's eat at MikeyandRin.com or the Insta at Mikey and Rin. Mm-hmm. And then we're MikeyandRin.com.
Yeah. And we'll have our side-by-side baby daddy mama meals to show you this week.
Lighten up the Instagram.
Lighten it up.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.